That's not too bad. I didn't realize this was for me. Problem is, then I'd have to actually use those cheap Walgreens glasses I have. We're doing a bit of a sermon series this fall on reach up, reach in, reach out, which is one of our mission statements here about living the Christian life, to reach up to God, to reach in to our own souls for our own spiritual growth, and to reach out to others in God's name. And today we're focusing on reach up, as we did last week, and in the next 4 weeks we'll be looking at reaching in and reaching out. So reading today from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, parables that Jesus told. Hear the word of God. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to tell you, I'm uncomfortable with lost. I'm uncomfortable with lost, as in when we in the church talk about we have to reach the lost. There's something about identifying this whole group of people as the lost that just grates in me. It's sort of like when we talk about we're going to reach out to the homeless, as though the people who come to our church every Tuesday night, starting in just a couple of weeks for PADS, that's who they are. They're the homeless. Instead of, they're people who don't have a roof over their head. They're men, women, and children who don't have a home. But to call them the homeless doesn't quite seem right. It's not real. It's not true. It's not who they are. And so I think when you get right down to it, it's talking about a category of people as the lost. It doesn't seem right, and it doesn't seem right partly because Jesus doesn't talk about the lost here. He talks about the one sheep who is lost, the one coin that's missing. So the category, the theological category, the lost, it seems to me it's okay to get rid of that one, but lost as a human experience, now that's something. That's something we can connect to. That's something to hang on to. Jesus reaching out to someone who is lost. That must be what this is about. Remember being lost as a kid, whether you're in the forest or in an airport, as Kathy described several weeks ago, or in a department store. I mean, you might not know it at first. There's this great feeling of freedom. You know, as a kid, you're discovering the toy department, and you are unguarded. But then you can't find your way back to wherever your parents were. If you do, they're not there anymore, and everyone's a stranger, and you're overcome by this terrible feeling that you are not where you should be, where you ought to be. You are not in a good place, and you don't know how to get there. It can be disconcerting, it can be frightening, even terrifying. Well, being lost in older years can also be disconcerting, frightening, even terrifying. Often we don't know we're lost. That part's not so bad, like discovering the toy department unchecked. Kathleen Norris was a writer in New York City and a poet, and she talked about herself in adolescence, in her young years, a heady first encounter with the world. And she talks about the doctrines I'd memorized, she says, the doctrines I'd memorized at confirmation had little real meaning for me and were no match for my emerging know-it-all sophomoric self. I used the word sophomoric advisedly, she said. At the age of 16, I was indeed a sophisticated moron. I never knew that's what sophomore meant. I'm not sure that's a good idea to let that get out. But she says, I believe that if people would just come to their senses, meaning, of course, if they would become as reasonable and wise as myself, then religion would simply disappear of its own accord. A dose of the Enlightenment, a little bit of Bertrand Russell, a dollop of Marx, a dash of Camus, and away with God. And I remained a sophomore for many years, she writes, feeling superior to people who still needed religion, especially organized religion. You can be lost and not know it. On Sunday nights, Kathy and I watch Mad Men. It's an award-winning show about advertising executives in New York City in the 1960s, and this crazy life that apparently all Americans lived, constantly drinking and smoking every moment of the day. I watch it because Kathy watches it. Anyway, the main character is this fellow Don Draper, who's a people user, he's a womanizer, he's really not even himself. He's adopted the identity of someone in the war who was killed when they were in combat, and he takes his name and his life. He is the definition of a lost soul, but he certainly doesn't know it. In the first few seasons, he's getting away with it all. In fact, the show's caught a little bit of criticism for getting away with it all, but until this season, now he's living alone. His marriage is over. He's estranged from his kids. He's drinking way too much. He's living in this tiny little apartment in New York City. Things seem to be falling apart. And I was driving in the car the other day and heard an interview with the actor who plays him. And the interviewer was saying, well, what is it about this season? What's this twist? What's this new turn in the plot? And the actor said, you know, it's interesting. The creator, from the very beginning, 4 years ago, the creator of the show, who's the writer and the producer and everything else, said, you know, the theme of this show is that actions have consequences. And the actor said, you know, my character, you couldn't see those consequences the first few years, but the theme is actions do have consequences, that there are, you know, the chickens do come home to roost in the end. And in this season, sure enough, Don Draper's realizing that he is something of a lost soul. And we'll see what happens. Sometimes, of course, we do know all too well that we're lost. We know it at the beginning, or we discover it along the way. We wake up one morning and find we've neglected those we love, or that we've violated our own principles, or we're awash in depression, or we're just sort of going through the motions and phoning it in. Or the faith of our childhood maybe takes a hit and we're not sure what we believe anymore. We're stuck in a place that we never chose to be. It's not the life we wanted. And how did we get here anyway? And how would we get back? And where is back? Where would we go back to? Then lost is not a category. Lost is not a theological position. Lost is an experience. Well, if you find yourself there, then it's good to know that there's a shepherd looking for his sheep. It's good to know that there's a woman looking for her lost coin. It's good to know that the God who made you in the beginning is looking for you. And in fact, to go beyond the parable, God is not only looking for you, God knows exactly where you are. And God will not rest until, like the shepherd, he scoops you up and tosses you on his shoulders and brings you back home at last. The parables paint a picture of a God who won't quit, of a God who doesn't stop, who won't stop at anything until he brings you home at last. God will not let go. Now, of course, Jesus in his parable talks about the one, you know. There's more rejoicing over the one who repents. And repent, you know, the literal meaning of repent is to turn. So that actually fits in with this little idea of being lost, that we need to turn back toward home. But, you know, really, Jesus is talking not only to the tax collectors and sinners there, but he's also talking beyond them to those Pharisees, to the righteous, self-righteous ones. And if you really push Jesus on it, he'd say, I'm sure that it's not just the one who's lost, the 99 who are fine. He'd say it's all 100. It's all 100 who are lost. That we all go through this experience of lost at some time in our lives. But God the shepherd, God the searching woman, fortunately, thank God, doesn't look at us as a category. God looks at each one of us, as Augustine said, as though there was only one of us. God loves us as though there's only one of us to love. And so God comes after each one of us to wherever it is we find ourselves, wherever that lost place is. Will Don Draper, the lost advertising exec on Mad Men, ever get found? I'm not sure. If he does, I doubt TV will show that God at least obviously has something to do with it. But to the eyes of faith, God's already stirring the pot in Don Draper's life, opening his eyes up to the reality of his own choices, his own actions. Kathleen Norris, the New York City writer, got found in church, surprisingly enough. She went to South Dakota to clear up her grandmother's estate. Figured she might as well go to the church her grandmother and her family had gone to for ages and ages just to see what it was like, and ended up becoming part of that church and also part of a Benedictine monastery nearby. And she found that all the intellectual doubts that she had had from her young years on have been part of the Christian faith for centuries. For centuries, people have been asking the same questions. And she found that in the coming together as God's people, there were not maybe so much as answers, but in the experience, it was the experience of being found. Okay, Greg, this is supposed to be the reach up sermon. Reach up to God, when really this whole story is about God reaching down to us. God reaching out to the sheep. God reaching over to pick up the coin. Well, when you experience the living God as reaching out to you, not just to the lost, but to you in your own particular place of lostness, then you know God as faithful. That first and foremost, before we have faith in God, God is faithful to us. And God will not rest until he scoops us up and tosses us on his shoulders and brings us home again. And when you know that, when you've experienced it, that's when you reach back. That's when you reach up. You reach up in faith yourself. After all, the Bible says we love because God first loved us. And so we reach up to the one who is and always has been reaching out to us. Thanks be to God. God the shepherd. God the woman seeking the lost coin. The God who loved you from the beginning and will love you all the way through until we all come home at last. Amen.